Well, thank you guys so much for being on that episode that we're tentatively calling Golf in Space.
No, thank you. That was very fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. This has been absolute blast.
Oh,
seriously.
So glad.
So much fun.
I want to talk about the episode we were kind of couldn't help ourselves off mic starting to do so, but I want to ask you both how you got involved in musical improv, like a brief sense of like how you came to the form and your history. A brief one.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
So musical improv, I guess, so started in high school, always big. I did musical theater. I was a big music guy. I played trumpet and piano, always a big part of my life. Always loved it. Came to college and I did the marching band, so I had a big fulfillment there playing trumpet and getting that musicality, but I was missing the theater aspect, so I was looking for something to do. I had known of improv through Whose Line, maybe. I remember when I was a kid watching it with my parents, and friend of a friend recommended. I checked it out, went to a show, went, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I want to do this. Auditioned, joined that team, fell in love with it. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made. It's just so magical. I think it's one of the best art forms ever. And musical improv came along because I went to the University of Michigan and we would take a trip to Chicago every year as an improv team. And I saw Baby Wants Candy in Chicago. And I remember it vividly. They did a musical about Hidden Valley Ranch. It was condiments in the Hidden Valley. And I went, this is the most amazing thing in the world. My favorite thing just got better. So I came back. I read Laura Hall's book on how to accompany musical improv, kind of taught myself that way, and then forced my team to do musical improv in college. So I just played piano in college. I didn't sing at all. And then came out to LA partially to pursue improv and musical improv and got into it. I was the first musical improv class at UCB post-COVID. Mm-hmm. So it was right as things were starting back up, joined it. Fell in love all over again, loved the community, met, lifelong friends, and it's been absolutely wonderful.
What about you, Bennett?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I'm realizing that we're from a generation in musical improv because I'm the same way, but in LA, I saw Baby Wants Candy, I think my senior year of high school or something, and I had done short form improv. I sung a cappella, so I was very much this is so cool. And that question, could I ever do this? But then a lot of time passed, COVID, college. But I found my way back to regular improv and was enjoying that, really zeroing in. Because I also did a little sketch in college. It's where I started to think of myself I might pursue comedy as my passion in addition to, I went to school for math. I'm not quite a space engineer, so similar timing where I was starting UCB classes right around end of the pandemic, and then the musical ones popped up, and it was a blast. Yeah, it's crazy. It's so fun and crazy. Yeah.
So I want to talk, kind of do a 2020 on the episode we just did. It's rare for comedians to get to do that. Feel free to be as improv nerdy as possible. Assume other improv nerds are listening. I'll start with something I really liked, which was the false rhyme of you trying to say across the galaxy or across the universe ended up getting picked up and repeated enough that it became central to the plot, that it was golf in space and propagating. I love that feeling of it was a mistake, but we'll kind of, especially in a show that's organic, so you don't have any track, it's fun to just that works as well as anything else.
Yeah, and I think it was a cool handshake because obviously that moment happened, but then I think when you were establishing yourself as our hero, you folded that in, and then that keyed me into you want to keep running with that? Awesome.
Oh, right. Yeah, it was I have this, early on I think I said, I have this dream of taking golf to space. And then I literally said, but let's not think about that right now. I can be very prescriptive.
But that's awesome. I felt that was the handshake.
Yes, so we'll bring it, it's a runner.
Yeah.
We're going to touch it again.
Exactly.
Yeah, what were things that you were enjoying or that were on your mind?
There was a lot of different things. I thought musically it was very, very fun what you were playing. Bennett, your specifics were cracking me up. You talk about those little one-off things. Some of my favorite parts of improv is the little bit that then turns into something mattering so much. Like, yeah. I think you mentioned, when you first said Golden Globes, I think you just said it as, like, an award like a Golden Globe.
You were like, I just like saw that. I could tell that it was true of you, because also the Golden Globes just happened.
Yeah.
As of this recording, like, what, last week?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so you were like, the Golden Globes, I just watched them, and it could be like that. And both of us going it's so funny to be like, what?
And I just love, like, the planting of the flag, like, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, the handshake. So let's do that.
It's a good example also, that scene of like when we kind of put it down. If like somebody goes back and listens to that part, it's a good example of sometimes you move past something because you're like, I don't know if that has juice. And then we were kind of like pitching out other things. Didn't we? We sort of like pitched out like maybe it's about.
Hypothesis. Philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to you.
Yeah, hypothesis coming to you. And I think I really strongly pushed it back to Golden Globes because I could see all of us thinking a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what does that mean philosophically? Like, whereas a guy who wants people to roast him is just like, it's easier to get.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's what I think about.
I feel like the place I was coming from with that hypothesis stuff was because you were asking us about like the philosophy inside golf.
Yes.
And like, and I've over the summer I started taking golf lessons, and it's like I'm working with this coach who's very like not prescriptive, and it's just really fun where it's kind of like you can't be grasping at something in your head that is like, this is the right way. It's just learning. I feel like it's the lesson in everything, but it's like you can't grasp for something, some like idea of right in your head on the path to hoping for like good results in anything. So that was kind of the inspiration in that scientist character. But yeah, I think in improv, it's so fun, especially when just like the world is laid out that like we just had a couple different things. And then in musical improv, it's a unique challenge of like choosing which one to sing about.
Yeah.
Because in a normal scene, normally it's like, great, we just have a couple different balls in the air and there's never a song that makes us like take a stance.
It's funny though, because now in the 2020, if you had said that, in the scene of like the thing that was behind the thing, the philosophy that was behind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wonder, like that has a lot of juice.
Oh,
like,
definitely,
because you can
think
about, you know what I mean? Like,
definitely,
obviously,
yes.
Roads Untraveled doesn't matter. But I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about, oh, that's so juicy of you have to let go of control. That is like a game that can be played so clearly.
Oh, so yeah. And I think I might maybe shied away from it because I was like, I think it is hard to play those like lack of control. Like it's like, how do I get my character in a situation where they can show this behavior? Mm. Whereas like wanting to be roasted, it's like the agency of that makes it really easy to play.
Yes, totally.
We did bring back the hypothesis thing at the end too. When
you gotta let the planet come to you.
Yeah, when you were like certain that they're aliens, we had to go like the student becomes the master. I think you said it's like no, you have to let that come to you. Oh, and I didn't realize that. Yeah, the planet actually came.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't you guys say that? I thought you said that's like stop trying to let the planet come to you.
Yeah.
I thought someone said that, and I was like, that's funny.
Yeah.
There were a lot of good runners. Yeah. What about you? What was on your mind?
I brought up the specifics for that one. Yeah.
I mean, I did, my favorite moment was when you like made the connection that now we had a planet that was going to be one country and that was where the whole country is a club, because in the just like talking at the beginning, we just riffed on that. And then it's crazy. I feel like the thing, I don't get to do as much narrative musical improv as I want to, but it's like, I have learned that the narrative ends up being more fun, silly, satisfying when you let go of control and just like, and I feel like we all were not obviously like going towards that as a destination, but we arrived there anyway.
Yeah.
And that like, so that just blew my mind. Like, yeah.
The sensation as an improviser of finding those cross connections, I think comes from experience and exactly as you said, it's just like your golf swing. Like, you let go of control, but then in the second half of the show, and especially in the last, like, 10 minutes, you begin, like, there's so many games that are out in the... It's like a herald, like, all in the air, all these games. And so being able to reference a point of view, it gets lighter and easier because... And feels more organic than exactly like you're trying to cram it. You can feel it when it's like... There was another decent... I enjoyed this. Like, I really liked, Bennett, this pivot you did. We were very stuck in plot mode, which is any space show gonna have some.
What's wrong with space?
Nothing wrong with space. We all love space, but space has like all these rules and plots and like.
Yeah.
Literally to the point where a runner of the thing was like, "It's just like in a movie." Famously, the thing with lots of plot. But you did this great pivot where we were talking about all the work of like, we gotta go into cryogenesis and all this stuff, and you were like, but we should probably discuss our love. And I was like, oh, that's smart, because we're stuck in plot to just go like, let's talk about us. Yeah, when in doubt, if you're a beginner improviser, just if you're feeling like it's all plot, say like, and I love you.
Or yeah, just diving into the relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. So
like for a
whatever it is, hack, a friendship. Musical,
yeah, whatever that is, turning it back either internally or externally to like how you feel about the people around you.
That's a fun exercise I think I've been given, where just like, and just stock improv scene, but both characters have to say I love you at some point and just like make it and
have
justify
you, have
it.
Have you been in a exercise like that, or you said that would be fun?
No, yeah. I would say that's a real, I can't remember who assigned that, but it's out there.
That's clever.
And sorry to the person whose credit I am failing to give them right now.
Yeah, sorry, Will Hine.
Yeah,
probably, yeah. Chances are, yeah.
You were talking about the connections and like bringing things back in terms of a herald. I think that is my favorite part of a narrative musical improv, because when I watch a musical or I see like reading any story, like, oh, and it came back at the end, or like this aspect. And I think it's especially fun in improv too, because those little things that you connect come up so organically or like non-purposely. It's like when you're writing a book, oh, I'm gonna mention XYZ so that at the very end when I say XYZ it's good, but bringing those back at the end. And I think something I really enjoyed from the episode was it felt like we were all doing that. We all kind of had a hand on a wheel for that. And it was very collaborative.
Yeah, it was like a Ouija board as opposed to like one person really driving.
Yes.
Which you can feel in a show. It's like, wow, that person's really driving the ship. And everyone else is just on their
on
ship.
On board.
Yeah. What are things that are like on your mind in terms of like pivots or things that you feel like maybe could have been stronger? I can go first. I feel like I could have been making more moves to like edit scenes. Like sometimes we were growing a little long in the tooth of like plot or story of like, I especially think like when we're villains can cause this to happen. I feel like it's the classic thing. It's like a villain builds up steam and they're like talking about their dastardly plan and all these things they're gonna do and all and it's like sometimes if they're not gonna like, if we can't find a funny philosophy to sing about it, I'm almost like, just cut forward to it having already happened, or like, do the behavior right away, because I feel like I felt like that was something I could have been nudging more, is like, or editing, just being like, oh, we heard them talk about this, and then cut to, like, no song, cut to, yeah.
Yeah, that Max had a great cut, right, like, just to getting our scientists to poot-poot.
Yes, just and now we're here. Yeah, great. Yeah. Like, good.
No, yeah, I think you're exactly right. And like, I caught myself. I feel like in improv, the second you think you know what's going on, the second like I like pocketed something, like, oh, like, because I remember there was a moment where I was like, oh, like they probably don't have their clubs with them and they want their clubs. So I did a bad thing.
Because
in my head I was like, oh, and like. Yeah, I was.
You were trying to get us to say
exactly.
Oh, that's. I know exactly the moment you're talking. We were both like,
No, we just want to come home.
Because I was like spinning my wheels. I was like, oh, we left. What did we leave? I had mentioned like, I didn't have my weed, and I was like, did you want me to say weed? Like, that's such a good. I know exactly what you're talking about. That sensation of trying to endow. It's hard.
Yeah. Well, and the lesson is, I think, is that I started to, it's like, as soon as you think you know something, you like, I'm disconnected from you two. So it's, and I think we played it off okay. So I appreciate your support in that moment. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, like it would have been more fun to just be in that moment, fully.
Heard.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you were mentioned for the villain scene. I was thinking about that when I came on as the president of the club, and it was, I was like, okay, I want to get through some plot because I want to punish the protagonist,
hero,
hero, have something happen. And I was like, typically for a villain song, they sing a philosophy. It's a very like default thing to do. We sang the villain's philosophy as the first number. Golf has rules that you have to follow the rules.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember vividly thinking like, my philosophy has already been sung about.
Yes.
There are rules of golf. And to your point, I think sitting here, my internal clock, I felt, is a lot better on stage when I'm like around talking. I know like how long things are happening. When do I feel like the song needs to come if something emotional happens? But here, we were talking about it a bit. It's difficult to determine that internal clock, or at least I just had it first. I was like, how long have I been talking as the villain? And like, do we need to cut and swipe and get out of here and move on to the next thing? Or do I need to now sing about something else because the philosophy's already been sung?
Oh, that's so real. Yeah, that's such a hard, it happens so organically, but that thing of like, oh, the opening number actually did what it covered all this ground.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it can happen in an, yeah. And then it's like, okay, either this scene doesn't need a song, or if it does, it has to be like kind of moving past that philosophy and finding something new,
yeah,
philosophically or jokey to latch onto.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think when musical improv, like, we'll do a scene without a song, like, you know, I'm always so delighted. So like, I don't know if there is I don't think I've ever done a musical improv show where there was a scene without a song. Like, I can't wait to do it one day. But like, I mean, it's fascinating. Like, cause I think there's in musical improv, everyone is doing a lot of juggling, like in a narrative show, even more so. And it's like, that's, I think the trust and that moment of like deciding that, like, you feel like one person probably feels like they can't make that decision alone. Like, but I think everyone I've talked to, like, it seems like is like, we're all on the same page that not every scene needs a song. So like, I think, it's always available to us, but often it's not used, the scene without a song, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned, making a decision alone. That's something I've been actually like actively thinking about in terms of my personal improv, is sometimes, especially in a larger group or with trying to do collaboration, I'm like arms wide open, eyes wide open. Like, we're going to see where the decision is made and we're going to all, I'll follow and we'll get it and go. And I'm like, I don't want to stamp anything because I'm going to like step and it's going to freak someone out. And the more, you know, I play with people that I've played with for a long time or trust or even new, it's like, we're all improvisers. If you make that decision, if I've talked to anyone where I'm like, oh, was that bold decision I made good? They're always delighted by it. It's like, was that okay when I made you a basketball player? And they're like, yes, that was awesome.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have that power to make that strong decision. And the beauty is everyone's going to jump on board because that's improv.
I think it's directly, I think that instinct of like, eyes open to receive the ball versus like throw the ball is like in direct proportionality to how many people are on stage.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like even more so in a podcast app, because it's like when I do two prov, you're only ever receiving or throwing the ball. And the moment you receive it, you're throwing it.
Yeah.
It's like that exact sensation of like catch, throw, catch, throw, catch, throw. And you know, for each person you add, you can count on having the ball that much less. But I do think even in big groups, that's more often the issue, is like everybody waiting for someone to make a move. Whereas it's like, watch great Herald teams. And they're like, oh, there's eight people up there who are playing really hard. Cause then, or like, you know, ASCAT is a great example of this. It's like, if you've ever done like pickup basketball with like really experienced players, the sensation is like having to fight for your life to like stay in the game a little bit. Cause like, rather than it being everybody standing on the back line, it's more like you better make your move the moment you have the idea, because it's like someone's has to make a move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good analogy. It's exactly right. Yeah. The pickup basketball.
Yeah. It's like playing with players who are, I think it's from classes. Like, people think like the aggression is bad or like in bad taste, but actually, it's not aggression. It's like information. And improv is only adding information. When I'm my worst player, I feel like it's because I'm I don't have information to add, and I'm my best player when I'm adding information, no matter what it is, in a way.
Yep. Yeah. And I will caveat, there is a wrong, I think, or a poor way to do that, where if someone's already throwing the ball, you throw in 10 more balls to go the basketball analogy. Yeah. That's like, you don't want to steamroll for that, but someone needs to throw the ball, and more often than not, I'm so delighted when someone throws me a ball.
Yeah.
Like, you tell me I'm wearing clown shoes and whatever, I'm like, oh, thank you. Yeah. How delightful.
They're all gifts. There's almost no bad gifts. Yeah. Even the ones that our social training says are bad. Mm-hmm. They're not.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of musical improv, like, what's is a new question I've never asked in a talk back before, but what are like some skills or players that you're seeing out there that are doing interesting things, and like, what excites you? Like, what are you seeing out there that you're like, that's really cool, I want to do more of that? Maybe it could be a specific player, maybe it could be a specific kind of thing. Is there like something recently that you've seen that you're like, that's super fun? It could be an energy.
I'm thinking for a sec. Yeah, it's a great question.
I have one. It's not necessarily new, but something I always, when I was in college and learning musical improv, I listened to Off Book, the podcast, yeah. Zach and Jess, like nearly every single day. It was my favorite thing. And they just have such an ability for that like playfulness and the storytelling of like, you can tell, A, they're having a blast. B, like, they're going where they want to go. They're doing what they want to do and being supported and passing the ball and catching it. And their ability to do that has always been something that I've kind of strive for, try to model after. And I think the core of it, if I really boil it down, is to like that fun and that playfulness of like, and that's why I try, like when Bennett says something that cracks me up, yeah, we're going to sing about that, buddy. Like, that's the most hilarious thing I've ever heard in my entire life. You're amazing. Let's sing about this. I'm having a ball.
Oh, my God.
Or when you're saying something as well.
No. I mean, Zach and Jess, friend of the pod.
Yeah. Friend of the pod.
Are the best. They're truly some of the best to ever do this. So I 100% agree. Yeah. And they're a great model for playing with great abandon, just as we were talking about, playing with great confidence and great abandon and great, it's like, you know, 10,000 hours really showing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think something I like to see in musical improv is like, just when people kind of like switch up the geometry of like number of people singing the song and song structure and then what the characters are doing. Like, I think about a scene I saw Candy Apple Red do, which was like the first scene was like, I think, two people in line at a coffee shop. And then somehow like we got on the topic of a podcast. And like by the second verse, there's two people behind a desk doing a podcast. This was a stage show. This was not a podcast. Hopefully that's not confusing. Yeah. So then all of a sudden we were in the podcast. And I just think an example was like when we sang that Cuddling Through Space song. And it's like you guys were established as a couple. I kind of used that to pivot as to make us a couple. And then I was like, okay, now I just want two other people who can be a couple.
Yes.
And so I came on to you as the AI.
Yeah.
The
like
AI
I don't think you can patternize in I love a song like that where it's like, it's a really classic musical theater convention, the same chorus across groupings.
And like two people just entered the stage from here and now two people came up on the like top of the set. And it's just very conventional musical theater thing. But when you improvise it, it's like you don't realize you're doing it, but it's like, how many characters do we have? What's going on? How many characters can this apply to? Boom. And it's like, and if we had more characters, they probably would have also been in the song paired off in some way, you know?
Yes. Like how many people can you pair? Yeah. How many people can sing this opinion?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the wider, the better sometimes. Cuddling in space.
Yeah.
Can
pretty universal. Pretty, pretty universal.
Because we're always in some kind of space.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. Whenever you've been cuddling, you have been cuddling.
Cuddling in a space.
Oh. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Think about that.
Oh my gosh.
Idiots. Cool.
Chew on that a little while.
Yeah. Chew on that.
And if it's not making sense, that's on you.
Before I let you go, I guess this is a variation of the same question, but just like, is there anything out there that's really like raising the ceiling for you or like that you find yourself curious about or passionate about in musical improv as a form right now? Something maybe you're working on or that you're passionate about Yeah.
I'm trying to think how this applies to musical improv, but like the I think I've been noticing it in regular improv, but I know that I want it to be the same for musical improv. I've just been like, I think there's been in LA right now a kind of a pivot to organic, and we get to do that in musical, or at least I've been seeing it in some of the like more indie teams, indie shows, like organic improv, and like people who can really bang or organic improv, it's like I just really admire them, and I want to like get closer and closer to that, because I think I am a bit of a writer, like I'm doing some juggling, and I've just seen a couple shows where I'm like, how is this appearing before me? And it's like, because when there's a, as improvised, when there's an opening, when there's a premise, like it doesn't take any of the fun out of it, but it's just a slightly different sport going on. And so I think I what I want to improve on and to be able to do even more is to get on stage with a few of my friends and be able to do a whole show. And yeah, that, in an organic way, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. Yeah. Sorry, my brain is like making tons of connections.
Yeah,
but I think I made sense.
Yeah. I think I crushed that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I get more specifically to musical improv.
Good.
Okay. Oh. No. Oh.
Sorry. And in every good, there's a.
I'm really trying to lean more into the musicality, either that's like genre, like applying things I've seen from musicals or love about musicals to that. Trying to use a little bit more of like when I first learned, I just learned piano and how to do that, and doing that as an improviser on the back line. You know, whether that's like as simple as like singing an ooh because I want this ambiance of this song to feel something like that. Or I think there are, that bound I feel like can be stretched a lot, especially with, you know, the musical improvisers that we improvise with are phenomenal musicians. They've got an ear, they got a beautiful voice. It's like we can really utilize that for musical improv just like they do in a musical. And that could even be not necessarily singing, it could be like dancing or stuff too, which I'm no dancer, but I think those are things that I'm really trying to lean into a bit more to make that musical show a, more of a production.
Yeah, I resonate with that. Cool.
Cool.
Anything else you want to share with your larger musical improv vibes or community or things on your mind?
I'm always down to talk about this stuff and do it. So if I said anything that you want to, don't quote me. No, but I'm down to chat about this with anyone. It's so fun.
Yeah. Absolute favorite thing in the world. So
especially I drive a lot, and when I'm driving, I prefer talking about improv on the phone to the quiet of the car.
And that's sort of what this episode is for the person listening right now. It's an alternative to the quiet of your own mind.
I've got nothing else. Not
cool.
Too much. But
well, thank you guys so much for being on the pod and for being so wonderful and so funny. And this was really fun.
Yeah, I was going to say thank you so much again. This was an absolute blast. I think I said it at the very beginning, and I'll say at the end, this was an absolute
blast. Nice little bookend, yeah.
Yeah, and was awesome.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.